We're cranking. We are taps. We're still cranking on Westtown Path. That is, I think, being submitted to PSNA today to WISDOT to get that out and built next spring. And Badger Rest Path as well. We're working on that one. I guess it's a little bit newsworthy. We did have a petition for our Cannonball Path was denied to the OCR. So we're going to be figuring out what our next steps are on that one. That was a local project, bike path project for the last phase of the Cannonball Path to cross the railroad siding at Madison Newspapers, which got denied. So it was a shocker to us. But that probably has some implication to our next TAP project, Ben, with the long-awaited Glacial Drumlin connection. So we'll hopefully we'll do better on that one. But our last few dealings here have not gone well with the OCR. So
Sorry, Chris, since you mentioned that project and that particular project, DNR got the easement and you have the permits, so what would OCR do at this point, or what would the railroad do at this point to scuttle it?
I don't know how it happened, but the OCR rescinded the order for the crossing of Wagon Trail, which was all approved and ready to go. And the final piece was, as you mentioned, the land that we worked on with the DNR. So we're gonna have to have a powwow and figure out our next steps with Lisa on that one. So that's a TAP project in 2026, and we still got time to hopefully fix it, but it's, we've already got a TAP project for that project, gave the money back, got our what we thought was our last piece of the puzzle, and now the OCI rescinded the order. I hope it was just due to inaction. Not any new, I mean, there wasn't any new testimony provided, so it's bizarre.
There's
But
quite enough of
that affects,
bizarre going around.
that'll, you know, that'll affect the county's STB urban project too. So, not indirectly. I mean, that's how you get to the county's project, right? So, more to come on that one.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah. Other committee members? All right. Seeing none, hearing none. Let's move on to our discussion of the Bird Street project then.
Great. Thank you, Sean. So we had information included in the TCC packet. Within the past month or so, the City of Sun Prairie and WISDOT reached out to us and notified us that the Bird Street project that is funded with STPG urban funding that's scheduled for 2025. They are proposing to change the scope from a reconstruction to a pavement rehabilitation. And because this is a change in funding and scope, it comes back to the MPO for review. So kind of the background on this is Sun Prairie is proposing to pivot the project from a total reconstruction to the pavement rehab to allow for a reduced construction timeline, the ability to keep two-way traffic open at all times, the ability to maintain metro routes and stops and to minimize disruptions to all modes of traffic and neighbors. With the street design, if it would have stayed as the reconstruction, it would have required traffic to be constricted to one-way travel, which would have impacted some of the businesses, and then it would have impacted nine bus stops with Metro. And so when they reviewed it and project design, they determined that the pavement rehab would be appropriate moving forward. And so staff reviewed this request. And so we went back and looked at the initial application and determined that even with this change in scope, the application would have received the same score and same ranking. And so staff agrees that this change in scope makes sense and recommends approval. However, the impacts of this is that the total construction cost will be reduced from about 1.6 million to around $952,000. And so previously it was funded at 60%, as was our previous cost share maximum for STBG. And under this, that means that the federal funding amount would be decreased by a little over $400,000. And so staff is recommending that in this situation, it may be appropriate to increase the federal cost share projects within the federal fiscal year 2025 timeframe. So that we don't lose that $400,000, we can't carry it forward to 2026. And so we are proposing this will be part of the next agenda item that we would keep the funding, we would increase the funding to 80% for Bird Street, and then that would also impact Thompson Drive and Windsor Road project. And as a result of some other carryover funding, it's looking like we can probably increase all of those projects to 80%. And again, we just kind of looked back and wanted to bring this back to the TCC for recommendation and approval. With our STBG funding policy is we have the following guidelines that in the event that the MPO must reallocate funding from one project to another due to project delays, cost reduction, or cancellation of a project, the general priority for use of this funding is to provide additional funding to already approved projects that are short of the minimum or maximum, sorry, 65% federal funding share. The next one is to fund new projects from the list of candidate project lists. Not enough funding there to bring in a new project. And then the next priority is provide funding up to the federal maximum of 80% for approved projects programmed in the year that the funding is available. So again, this is impacting federal fiscal year 2025. So coming up very quickly, we have been working with WSDOT local program staff on these projects, making sure that with PS&E dates coming forward, that there's still the time and the availability to change those percentages for funding. We are still waiting on kind of some final numbers before we can propose that. But again, really today we wanted to bring this forward and approve the change in scope. And then also if there's any comments or feedback in terms of the what to do with that funding that's available in 2025. So happy to answer any questions. And then, like I said, looking for approval or a recommendation to bring forward to our policy board.
And it sounded like there were kind of two issues there. So the first one is really just about Bird Street, the scope and financing change of it. And then secondarily, what do we do with any excess money? Okay.
Yes.
So any questions or comments? I see Tom is on the call today too. So if there's any specific project issue, I'm sure Tom can address that. But it sounded like the pavement design is still solid as is. So I don't see any reason that that change shouldn't be made. It seems like it has a lot of advantages for, keeping a good pavement cross section for that facility, but decreasing timeline and cost is never a bad thing. So.
I think something to add in here, this is something that staff would like to bring back for a future TCC agenda item. We're seeing more and more scope changes for some of our STBG projects. And again, we want to balance and make sure that, that the projects that we had selected, that, they're still in fulfilling the intent of what the MPO selected, but we also don't want to unnecessarily make project sponsors keep coming back and coming for approval. So I think, like I said, on a future agenda item, we would like to have a discussion and get some feedback from the technical committee about, kind of coming up with some guidelines of what constitutes a major scope change, things like that, that makes sense to come back and be reviewed by the committees.
That's a good point too. Yeah, you don't want to, but it's on some continuum, right? So it's always hard to tell, even in the middle of it, what's sort of minor and what's sort of major. But in this case, it sounds like it's going to do the same job as it was supposed to. It would have scored the same, even if it had been proposed this way originally. But I can sure appreciate the extra work it took to get to it. Slightly different answer, but if it does the job, it does the job. So, I'm not seeing hands shooting up. So, if there are no other questions, comments, concerns, input, we'd entertain a motion to recommend approval of the STBG urban scope
With
and
Judd, I'd
funding.
recommend
Oops.
approval.
Oh, sorry, Judd. I tripped on you, man.
Whatever you were just saying, that's what I recommend as my
Cool.
emotion.
All right. Thank you. A second on that.
JJ Larson, second.
Thanks, JJ. So this would be then for approval of the proposed scope and funding change for Burt Street project. Give a second for any opposition or last minute thoughts, but we have a motion and a second, and not seeing any hands go up, let's call that approved. So now let's get into the draft 2025-29 TIP projects listing, and this can answer that question then about the excess funding.
All right. It's always tricky with PowerPoint. Is everyone able to see the presentation slides, or are you also seeing notes?
It looks
Just
good.
slides.
Just the slides. Perfect. All right. Well, the primary focus of this item will be to review the status of current STBG urban and TAP project schedules. So there are five existing projects that are scheduled for completion in this current year, 2024. University Avenue, as Chris just mentioned, that project is now done. Pleasant View Road, the County Trunk Highway M project, Exchange Street and McFarland, and also the Autumn Ridge Path and Overpass. There was some question about whether the overpass would be completed this year or not, but it sounds like construction is starting for that. And then in 2025, we have the North Bird Street project, which was just discussed, North Thompson Road and St. Albert the Great Drive project, and the Windsor Road project. And then in 2026, Mineral Point Road, John Nolan Drive has been advanced to 2025. That was originally scheduled to have a let date in November 2026. And then Nichols Road, that project has been delayed. That originally was scheduled for 2025, and that's been moved out to 2029. I should mention that the 4th Street project in Stoughton is no longer shown because that project has, or Stoughton will be moving out of our urban area, And so as a result, WISDOT will be administering the federal funding for that project. So that covers all of the existing projects in the program. Several new projects were awarded funding last year, and all of those projects are circled on this map. And so right now, we're showing the two Rimrock Road projects in 2026, Glacial Drumlin Trail in 27, the West Town Path, John Nolan Drive Phase 2, and O'Keefe in 2028. And then in 2029, John Nolan Drive Phase 3, St. Albert the Great Drive, and the Windsor Road Path. So these are all the projects in tabular form. Existing projects are highlighted in yellow, and the new projects are highlighted in green. As Colleen mentioned, there is an opportunity to fund the fiscal year 2025 projects at 80%. And there also may be an opportunity to fund a new project. Pardon me, and that's the South High Point Road Extension Project in 2026. So we do have that shown here. We still have to coordinate with City Madison and WISDOT on this. The reason we're showing that project is because Madison applied for funding last year, and they were not granted funding because there just weren't enough SDBG urban funds for that project. But due to some revised numbers that were given to us from WISDOT, it looks like we are going to have some extra funding in fiscal year 26. So that looks like really the best candidate right now to place in that year. So we have worked with the project sponsors on the schedule, and we do intend to submit this schedule to WISDOT for final approval. If there are any comments, please let us know as soon as possible regarding this timeline. And now Ben will review the TAP projects.
Thanks, David. With this latest Zoom update, things are definitely appearing differently here. I can't see even my own camera anymore, but hopefully you can still all see the screen that David's sharing. For the existing projects, that I should note, we did not include some of the projects that were awarded redistribution funds in 2024 that were the subject of a recent TIP amendment, since they are not going to be in the 2025 TIP, since they're being funded and you know, they're most of them are not construction. They're purchasing MUTCD compliant stop paddles for crossing guards and installing bicycle counters and things like that. So those are not included in this map. So the existing projects that we have, the County MM Underpass in Fitchburg, and I guess I probably can't even see my little cursor. So maybe I'll just run through them really quickly, and then we'll zoom in on each of them in subsequent maps. The Badger Rusk Path in 2025, the Capital City Trail Buckeye Extension that Chris just mentioned has run into some issues with railroad right-of-way again. The East Rusk Shared Use Path in 27, the Moreland Road Shared Use Path in 27, the West Town Path in 25, the Woodward Drive Shared Use Path in 28, the North Bird Street Path and RRFBs. This is a separate project than the STP project that was just discussed. They're both in the same corridor, but this is just building a new path alongside the existing roadway and then adding RRFBs. Sun Prairie's Safe Routes to School plan in 2028, that's not mapped, it's citywide. The Sun Prairie Loop wayfinding in 26, that's that single little orange dot. That one, it's a sort of a centroid of what the loop that they will be doing the wayfinding around the edge of the city, and then an east-west and a north-south route as well that'll be getting wayfinding, that in 26. And finally, the West Verona Avenue and West Lawn RFB in 25. And so here we have, zooming in on that Capital City Trail, A little bit from Wagon Trail to underneath the overpass, and then it's adjacent to, as Chris mentioned before, Dane County's project to continue that path along the railroad to a new parking lot and access point. The County MM Underpass in Fitchburg, there was some concern that this might get held up over right-of-way issues, but Fitchburg seems to be able to be moving forward with it, so that's great news. The Badger Rusk Path, again, that funded in 25, and the East Rusk Path in 27 are adjacent projects that will bring in a separated bicycle and pedestrian facility to connect to the existing overpass of the Beltline. The West Town Path, again, this is sort of half of a larger project. The new path directly to the east is actually SDP funded and will be in a further out year. And then in Sun Prairie, again, the Safe Routes to School program is not mapped here, but the loop wayfinding project, again, sort of a centroid in the middle of that project, and then the new path with RFBs on North Bird Street. And finally, in Verona, a new RRFB with some intersection changes, new curb cuts, new crosswalk markings. And finally, DeForest, the County V path. This one, again, running into some construction easement issues. Judd, I don't know if you have an update on this, but not anticipating that this is going to make September let date for construction next year and to be able to use the awarded TAP funding. Been holding on to it just in case there aren't any other projects that are in line and ready to go that those funds could be transferred to. So we're just kind of crossing our fingers that it works out. This project also applied for carbon reduction program funding, and it does look as if there will be sufficient funding for all projects to be funded through that application. So that's good news that even if we're not able to meet deadlines to get this project funded through the TAP program and constructed next year, it'll still be able to move forward in the near future through an alternate federal funding source. The Moreland Road Shared Use Path, sort of South Madison, and right now no facilities along that road. So that'll be a really important facility for the folks who live in South Madison. And the Woodward Drive path, adjacent to the railroad right-of-way, on the water side between the village of Maple Bluff and North Madison Troy Drive area.
All right. Well, that concludes our presentation on the status of current SCBG urban and TAP projects. We're both available to answer any questions you have, or if you have any comments.
Thanks. So we'll open it up. You had mentioned, David, going back to the list of road projects that the South High Point project could fit in next year, given a little bit of extra money identified in 2026. But did you mention also some potential carryover from 2025?
So we, at this point, are going to be using almost all of the 2025 funding. There could be a little bit of extra funding, but it's unclear from WSDOT if that funding will really be available in 2026. Now, there is a substantial amount of extra funding that has been made available in fiscal year 26. And the reason for that is because the John Olin Drive project is now requiring less SDBG urban funding than was originally awarded, substantially less. And because the South High Point Road project was the only project that wasn't funded in the last cycle, there appears to be an opportunity now to fund that project. In fact,
it would have scored favorably for doing so had there been money?
Well, I mean, the score for that project suffered because we don't have a good way to account for roadway extension projects in our scoring criteria. And so the existing pavement condition really didn't apply because this is all on new right of way. So for that reason, it didn't score great, but otherwise I believe it would have been competitive with the other projects.
And that was the only project in that round that didn't receive funding. So that is really the only candidate project we have ready to go as well.
Sure. Okay. Good to know. And do you know what percentage those 2026 projects then might get funded in?
There could be an opportunity to fund those projects at 80% just due to the amount of extra funding that has been made available to us. And we just, within the past week, learned about that opportunity.
Cool. Good to know too. All right. So one of the questions, well, I guess there are a couple of questions inherent in this, right? Is there any question or concern with the listing itself? And this would be to make a recommendation to the MPO board for approval, correct?
Yeah, you could make a recommendation on this updated list of projects, certainly.
Okay. And then inherent in that is with the Bird Street scope and funding changes, to pick up what Colleen had mentioned earlier, to bump the percentage of funding of these 2025 projects up to the 80% maximum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So members, any discussion or input on either of those questions for this agenda item? And if not, I'm not seeing my board light up here on the side, but if not, I think I would entertain a motion to recommend to the MPO board approval of this updated listing of projects, and also a recommendation to increase the percentage of funding of the 2025 projects listed to the 80% maximum or extent of funding available, whichever is lower.
And we would also suggest for fiscal year 26.
Ah, good catch. Thank you, David. Yes, let's mention that in that same motion.
So moved. This is Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
I second. This is Chris.
Thank you, Chris. So any last discussion, comments, or opposition, please raise your hand. And I'll give a minute here. Or maybe 20 seconds. But seeing none, hearing none, let's have that motion then recorded as approved. Let's move on to public participation plan update, the old triple P.
Right. I think I will start this off, and that it should be pretty short and straightforward, and David will get into the tip side of things a little bit. So we're required to update our public participation plan every 5 years. We last adopted it early in 2021. And the public participation plan lays out really the public notice procedure for all of our different documents, and kind of the noticing that we are required to post, where it's posted, how long it's posted. And then it also includes things like how we're going out and trying to get public participation, some of the different methods that we do that. And so this year we've been seeing it in previous years too, but especially this year, more and more major TIP amendments come through. And so, again, the public participation plan is where it outlines kind of what that procedure is. And after some of the issues that we've run into, we're proposing to change that a little bit. David, if you want to review that.
Sure. Yeah, so for this item, we're proposing to reduce the public comment period for major TIP amendments from 30 days to 15 days. A major TIP amendment is required for projects with federal funding where there was a significant change in project cost. And that would be a change in cost exceeding $7 million. We're also proposing to clarify who should be on the mailing list for the notice of public hearing. And so a 15-day public comment period would be more in line with the public participation requirements of other MPOs in the state, including Sewer PAC.
Yeah, and so with this, and I think we would streamline a little bit too who those notices are being sent out to. So we have it included in here. It would send out to the chief elected officials of local units of governments and their clerks, the MPO policy board members, and individuals on the MPO technical coordinating committee mailing list. For projects that would impact transit, then it would also go out to the private transit operators within the county. And again, really with our current process, what we were running into, I think it happened at least two times this year and maybe one last year, is especially with all of this discretionary funding coming in, having to go through and do the TIP amendments, it started to really hold up the process to get some of these projects kicked off. Because our current policy is, again, kind of the 30-day of public comment period. But then first, we had to have the policy board approve it to go out. So really, we were running into almost a two-month period to be able to get a major TIP policy or TIP amendment passed. So this would streamline that, again, down to the 15 days. We don't have to have the policy board approve that initial release. So this, I think, would help all project sponsors that could be potentially impacted by this. And then the other change, I don't think it was included in the packet. It's a small minor one that we're proposing. We went back and looked at. It also indicates how our TCC and policy boards are median. We had to change it at that time to allow virtual meetings. And the language says that we would be virtual meetings until the COVID-19 pandemic was over. So we'll change that language to reflect that these committees can still continue to meet virtually. And then I guess just the other thing to note here, kind of one of the quirks with the public participation plan under the federal requirements, there's quite a bit like for the RTP, if we do an amendment, it's a 30-day public comment period. Pretty much all the other documents are that. To amend the public participation plan, it's a 45-day public comment period. So at this time, I don't think we need a recommendation from the TCC to take it to the policy board, unless there's anything that people would like to see added or changed. We'll take it to the policy board in August to release that draft. Again, a 45-day public comment period, and then we'll bring it back to the TCC for a recommendation of approval moving forward.
Tom.
So Colleen, the RTP update process still will take a month, but the TIP major amendment process will be streamlined to about 15 days. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so like the upcoming 18-151 major TIP amendment submittal from us will be still take about a month plus, because you have to go through RTP update too, right?
Yes. And likely. We are planning on scheduling a meeting with you guys to talk about that. We have found out that for the 18-151, it doesn't have to be in the RTP first. So that'll be able to be just a TIP amendment.
Okay. That sounds good. We're dragging our feet on that one anyway. It's going to be a while. We're first going to do a needs assessment, so you won't hear about that one for a few weeks to a month anyway. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that policy.
And one of the other things, since we're kind of talking about the TIP amendment procedure through the public participation plan that we just wanted to go and review with the committee right now, is, again, generally our process in the past has been to do no more than a TIP amendment every other month. There's been quite a few frequently. I think the beginning of the year we were doing TIP amendments almost every month. Sometimes that's going to be unavoidable, again, with some of this discretionary funding, but we do really hope moving forward that we can get back to the every other month timing for TIP amendments. So again, if you have projects coming up that you anticipate you might request an amendment, it'd be helpful if you just reach out and let staff know as soon as possible so that we can kind of try and coordinate that and streamline that moving forward.
That's a good point, and that's appreciated too. A quick question on the 15-day PPP change. Do you have any data or trends of past input as to when you receive those? I mean, is it common that people, if they're going to provide input, do it in 15 days? Because that always feels personally like that's plenty of time. But from a committee perspective, that feels really, really quick.
Yeah, I would say in the past, and David, you can pipe up too if you can think of anything. I think the only time that we've really had a comment on TIP amendments have been more of the WISDOT major projects, kind of our average TIP amendment projects. I don't think we've really received much for public comment.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, David?
No, I think I would agree with what Colleen said.
Okay. I just didn't want to pinch some, you know, municipality to find out like, oh, geez, by the time we convene the board, it's too late. You know, that would be heartbreaking. The whole goal is input. So, but if that'll work, I'm all for streamlining. Any other thoughts from members? And again, this doesn't need a recommendation from us. It can just go to the board, but any input I'm sure would be appreciated. All right, I'm the only one asking questions today, so good deal. If nothing else, and we don't need action on that, I think we can move on to staff reports.
We have, let's see, the discussion of 2025 work program project.
Oh. But no worries,
oh,
no worries.
Making terrific time.
It's going to be short. It's going to be short. So I'll just talk about that a little bit. I'm just sort of, it's that time of year where I will be reaching out and getting some feedback from our communities about things that they may have in mind that they'd like to see us put in our work program. But right now I can say we sort of have the usual things that we always do. So we always work on the TIP and we always work on performance measures and we always provide, you know, certain things that are ongoing programs that we do. Some of the highlighted, you know, bigger projects that we had planned for 2024 that were really starting in 2024 and will continue on into 2025 includes the active transportation plan, which will really get going more in earnest later this summer because we're trying to be very mindful and coordinated with the city of Madison, who is doing a similar planning effort. And we want to incorporate what they're doing. We also don't want to generate too much confusion as we have these sort of two planning processes going on at the same time. The other thing that we'll be taking on is a regional transportation systems management operation plan, which later this year we'll at least start working on sort of scoping that out, better known as TISMO, perhaps. That's something that will be a consultant-led project, and we see that going in, obviously, 2025. And then a continuation of the regional safety, things are in the plans and the planning effort, but also looking forward to hearing back on hopefully a successful grant application and everything related to that for the regional application. And other than those items, I think I reached out. I heard from the village of Wanakee, for instance, who reached out to me and talked about their intent to be, they're looking ahead, knowing they're going to be doing, updating their comprehensive plan. And it sounds like it's probably going to be a comprehensive update to their comprehensive plan and sort of thinking ahead how they're going to do that, and reached out asking for our support as they do the transportation element of that plan. Just to get it on our radar, we like to include that in our UPWP, which is the key thing that we share with WISDOT and FHWA to sort of say, hey, in return for the funding you provide to us, these are the things that we're going to be working on this year. So that's what that does. And sometimes those things get to, obviously most planning processes take more than 1 year, but we do update it every year. So there are some things that move within the timeline there, but it's always best to identify things that I can include. And I would like any feedback you all have today, but also just for your knowledge, I'm going to go about sort of doing outreach through like the Cities and Villages Association, also making direct contact with our communities to just sort of talk that through, rather than, I always send out in the email, which is one thing, but we all get a million emails. So I'd like to make that effort to sort of reach out by phone, in some case visiting, if you'd like, to sort of talk through some ideas. So that's all I have. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Well, Sean,
do you want to ask
one? Are raising their hands, let me say.
Just for the sake of
thank you, Alex and Colleen, for backing me up one step. I'm not seeing anything on my side here right now, but I do think it would be good if we would get together with our planning side. I'm more on the engineering side, and so they usually tell me what my vision should be.
You say, yes, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, will do.
That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of the idea, there's no reason why, maybe a planning department or whoever might be thinking of things that, oh, that might be something they could help us with. So that's, right. I'm just planting that seed.
Cool.
Great.
All right. Well, I'm sure if anyone has anything, they know where to find you.
Yes, they know where to find
you. Okay, thanks. And
thank you.
Now we can move to staff reports. Sorry about that.
All right. So just a few short ones to go through here. So with our MPO planning area boundary, we've heard back from Mount Horeb. It sounds like that's going to be on one of their upcoming council agendas, but it does sound like it should be thumbs up moving forward that they're interested in joining and participating with the MPO. So as soon as we get word of that, we will work on updating the rest of our planning area boundary. Likely most of the other areas won't change that much. We'll have to reach out and grab Mount Horeb, but kind of to the north and to the east and the south, most of those boundaries will likely stay very similar. Might be some slight adjustments if we have to reach out and grab any changes to pull in the urban area boundary, but shouldn't look too different. And we'll reach out to communities at that point in time once we have that finalized and review the map with them. For our next one, for our Safe Streets and Roads for All grant application update, that's moving forward and everything is looking good. We're excited about this. So we have several communities that are going to be participating in the application. Cottage Grove is including a request to develop an active transportation plan. Fitchburg is including a request to develop a Vision Zero plan. Verona is including a request to include a district-wide safe routes to school plan. Village of Shorewood Hills reached out to us and after they found out about it, and they are requesting funding to develop a safety action plan for Shorewood Hills. And then Dane County is requesting funding to develop a county highway comprehensive safety action plan. So we're really excited about this. The application amount will be $1.25 million. That'll be submitted by the end of August, and fingers crossed, we're feeling pretty optimistic about it. Everything that we've heard so far is that these planning and supplemental funds have been very successful, and we're hoping we can bring that funding to the region. Our next item on here is next month, there'll be an agenda item for our chair and vice chair election. So something to keep in mind and think about before we get to that point. Sean has been wonderful these past, it's been at least 2 years, maybe 3 years, we've gotten to have him as our chair. So maybe we'll see him continue. Maybe other people are interested in stepping up. So something to start thinking about. And then a few things under the other category, as I think Ben mentioned earlier, carbon reduction program applications have been turned in. They're still with WISDOT for review. We've gotten to see a preview of them. But it does look like at this point in time, we've received 5 applications. And we have approximately a little over $5 million available over the program cycle. And it looks like the request is about $3.5 million. So it should be all the projects, as long as they're eligible, should be able to be receive funding. And we shouldn't have to go through and do kind of the competitive review and ranking. So as we get more information from WISDOT, as that proceeds through, that'll likely be on a future agenda item. We do have a TIP amendment coming up at our August policy board meeting, and the TIP amendment will include for City of Madison, they were awarded a $1 million federal reconnecting community grant to construct the Perry Street Beltline overpass. It'll also include US 151 Main Street to County Highway BV resurfacing, design work to start in 2024, construction anticipated in 2031. And then also the Southwest region pavement markings, various highways in 2024. One of the other things that's going to be on the August policy board meeting that we wanted to kind of flag for members here. So what we're seeing more and more of with some of the federal discretionary funding that is coming from USDOT directly rather than WISDOT administering it. So for instance, the City of Madison Reconnecting Community Grant is we also, in addition to them being included in our TIP, they now have to be amended into our UPWP. That's something that we've never had to do in the past. So if any communities here are anticipating applying for some of that discretionary funding, it is helpful if you let the MPO know that, so that we can start, you know, preparing some of those documents, just so that funding doesn't get held up as a result of that. And then I don't think I have anything else there. My last announcement under this agenda item is that this is my last TCC meeting with the MPO. I will be leaving the MPO mid-August to head over to WISDOT as the planning section chief. So wanted to thank everybody for, it's been great working with all of you, and just give you the heads up that future communication will be coming potentially from Alex or somebody else from the MPO, including updates for the August TCC meeting. And also bear with us as we try and forward some of those meeting notifications, everything like that. If all of a sudden you're wondering why you're seeing duplicate calendar requests, it's because we're trying to move those around. And I think that's all that we have under staff reports.
Well, that is enough. And thank you, Colleen, for all you've done, but especially even these last couple of years. It really has been something. So
thank you.
Appreciated. And congratulations on your next endeavor there. It doesn't sound easy, but it sounds like you're for it.
Thank you.
Good for you. Other than that, it looks like the only thing we've got is just an announcement that our next meeting is August 28th. So put it in your calendars, get your campaign buttons printed and polished up so you can run to chair this outfit. So.
Is it going to be a competitive race, do you think?
Very competitive. It's bare knuckle here at the TCC. So, other than that, we're at the end of our agenda, and I'll declare that adjourned. And so have a good rest of the afternoon, all.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good luck, Colleen.
Thank you.
Yeah, way to go, Colleen.
I didn't save any of Tom's cake, or I'd have shared it with you.
No fun.